In studio with us, architect and interior retail designer, Dina Bregman. Welcome and thank you for coming into studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you with us. I've got to make this admission right up front and tell you that I'm hugely jealous of you. That if in fact one does get another shot, I'm going to come back as an architect because I think to have your sense of aesthetic, to have your sense of awareness of structure and form and the way you see the world must be like a remarkable thing. I think you really, you're blessed. You're absolutely blessed.
Well, I think as a subject to study, it's one of the best subjects you can. It encompasses so much: architecture, philosophy, sociology. So as a course, it's fantastic. Living as an architect can drive you crazy.
Really?
You go to a motel or a hotel and the formica's peeling off, or the tile selection's awful, or the lighting can be fixed, or you see a building and the whole entrance is being designed wrong, and there are so many renovations, especially in my area, where people think they can do a renovation. Please, guys, just get some help. And then they sit with a property they can't sell.
So now there's a really interesting question, because at what point does one require an architect and what point doesn't one?
Well, for any project now, it used to be different. There's a new regulation, SANS 10400, which came in 2011.
Okay.
And you have to be SACAP registered in order to sign off plans. So you can't sign a plan for a council submission if you're not registered. So there are draftsmen and architecture technologists who can sign off the plans who are registered. But
does every structural alteration require council permission?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Any, so it's a wide net.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got basically employment for life because every change to every window is going to require a plan.
Well, you should, but a lot of people don't.
Just don't.
Because you can get away with it. There's no real policing of it. But if you do something and you get caught, then there's a lot of repercussions.
You must have the patience of an angel and you must be a remarkable person to deal with clients.
Well,
how does that work for you?
I started off with a lot of house renovations.
Yes.
And I did my time. And I have an advert on Chai. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay.
Perfectly.
Where I talk about doing more commercial work, because doing commercial work and working for corporates, you know, you don't realize how personal somebody's house is and how you got to get into their heads and know where they want to wake up in the morning, go to sleep, go to the toilets, eat their breakfast. And you got to, like you say, you got to get into that person's psyche and then try and take it out of them and how they want to live, because you can't just impose your will. You've got to find what that person, what they really want out of their home, and then give it back to them.
I reckon that's probably the key, is to understand and interpret. And yet when you watch, you know, those British architectural programs, it's the architect has an agenda. It's their idea. It's their vision. And it's incredible to me how many people just go along with that. I mean, hell, they're paying the money.
Well, if you see grand designs,
that's what I'm talking
which
about.
I love.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah?
A lot of it is owner-built. And then sometimes they – I'm not saying owner-built. People, some people are very, very talented. In fact, there was a beautiful book at university which was owner-built. But there's small fundamental things that a lot of people just miss out when they're designing a home, where you could just move a wall or put in a window, which would make a fundamental difference.
Adina, if I were to want to use the services of an architect, what kind of costs am I looking at?
Well, there's various ways to cost it.
Sure.
According to the South African Institute of Architects, it's on a percentage on a sliding scale. For a big renovation, it's between 10 to 15%.
Of the cost of the project?
Yeah, of the cost of the project. People think it's too much, but
It's significant, that's for sure.
You're looking at, with a house, 6 months to a year project, and you break down that fee over that time, and you've still got to pay staff and run a business.
No, I get that. You know, plus I get to buy your professional indemnity.
Yes.
Which kind of suits me down to the ground.
It cost me a fortune.
Because if I'm glad to hear it, because, that's one thing is a massive risk to do it on your own. If you're not getting the plans, you're on the line.
Yeah.
Much easier to have you on the line. Let's talk about, the new green world that we're living in. I'm noticing driving through Johannesburg, new buildings are going up and, they're advertising themselves now as green buildings. What does that mean other than energy efficient?
Okay, a green building, has different interpretations. How would you put it? The energy efficiency is a big part of it because you've got to look at how much power you're using, water you're using, what are you recycling, and then also what sort of materials are you using that are green, that are recyclable,
so
such as bamboo.
So goes that far, procurement, all that.
Yes, hemp products, different sorts of tiles. Are you going to buy tiles that have been coming all the way from overseas where they're local manufacturers? There's two companies now that are making porcelain tiles locally, and they're perfect at half the price. So you're saving on those carbon emissions. So a lot of the buildings that have green values are recycling their water, using energy efficiently with their lighting, their computers, solar power. Also, you don't understand how you insulate a building to retain heat. And before 2011, you didn't have to worry about it. So there's things called R values, which
R values.
R values.
Okay.
So a normal brick wall will have a certain value and the plaster will have a certain value. Now you start thinking, why in the US and in Europe do they build kind of sandwich-like buildings with a lot of insulation? That R value is double that of a brick wall. It's a far more efficient way of keeping the cold and the heat in.
It's really interesting you're talking about this. I saw an article on my Facebook feed the other day talking about how, if one cares about the environment, one has to stop building these glass skyscrapers. That the amount of damage it does to the environment, the fact that it creates its own mini climate within its surrounds, it's just not sustainable. And who would think so? Because they look so nice, and you would imagine it's high-tech glass and shading and all that stuff so that the insulation, you know, wouldn't be a problem. But do you agree? Do you feel that this is something that we should not be doing?
No, I disagree.
That's great.
So don't go tell the architects in Sandton City have built such beautiful buildings. Facade treatment's becoming more and more advanced. Double glazing. Low emission glass that will reflect radiation. In fact, when you do your R value calculations for a house, you've got to work out your fenestration calculations as well. And it's worked according to the climate that you're in. And double glazing is incredibly efficient in insulating a house.
Oh, really? Wow, using words I haven't heard before, fenestration calculations. I mean, I gather that's something to do with the window, but very impressive. That makes sense because when we used to drive past UCT in the olden days at night and lights were on in certain faculties, it was only ever the architectural faculty whose lights were on at 2, 3 in the morning. Can you kind of corroborate that?
Absolutely.
Really?
If you're going to study architecture, just realize you're not going to get a lot of sleep.
Let's talk rates and taxes just very quickly. Okay, so I've done my renovation on my old Gelupita house, and it's now a beautiful mansion in Sandton. Is that going to have an effect on my rates?
Well, it depends on when you're going to get an assessment on your property. So it's solely at the council's discretion of when they're going to come and do an assessment and an evaluation of what your property is worth. And at that stage, you should really try and oppose it or make sure that it's the correct evaluation of your house. Because remember, that evaluation is going to affect the sale price of your house down the line.
Hugely.
And it also affects your capital gains tax. Unless it's a house that you live in full time, then you won't pay capital gain tax. But if it's a secondary house that you own, then it can affect your capital gain tax.
And if you were like me and you missed the registered letter telling you that you had a certain time in which to object and your rates kind of more than doubled unjustifiably, so am I just toast. It's finished. Go and make peace with it.
I think it's quite contentious and we'll have to ask one of our councillors to advise us. But you know, I have a problem like that now with a pensioner. So when you're a pensioner, you don't pay rates and taxes if you're over 70, and you get a rebate. But the problem is if it's over 2.5 million. So now her house has been valuated at 3 million.
Okay.
And she's struggling to get her ends to meet, and now she's got to pay this huge amount for a rates and taxes bill. So I don't know. I'm actually going to investigate and see if we can actually bring it down, if there's any way of reevaluating a house.
Adina, if somebody wants to get hold of you to, I don't know, look at your portfolio of work, employ you, etc., where do they go? What do they do? How do they contact you?
On Facebook, if you Google my name, Adina Bregman, there's a whole lot of options that come up. I can give the number over the phone.
Go for it.
It's 011-728-5673.
Adina, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. Like I said, I want to be you one of these days. I am very jealous of your aesthetic and your ability to do what you do. I can't draw a stick house if I tried. There we're going to leave it. And, yeah, Tabu, what do you got for us?